Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, if y'all are listening in, of course, it would be me and our co-host, Mr. Craig Moore. Craig, how the hell are you?
Oh, my goodness gracious, I'm amazing.
You're just as well as the Mason Dixon, huh?
Yeah, I'm just as good as the rain we didn't get today.
Yeah, definitely been wet all over the United States. It's been a tough season for dirt track racing. Of course, asphalt and dirt racing, that's kind of the beginning of the differences between the two is, you know, when it rains, it's all you got to do is dry out the pavement, but unfortunately dirt doesn't dry as quickly, and we don't have jet dryers yet at our local tracks, but I guarantee you, if we keep on with this, we'll find somebody with some money and find out what kind of innovation we can come up with. There's always somebody ready to spend some money in the racing industry.
Speaking of spending some money.
Yeah. Well, you know, that Felix Sabata said it best years ago, if you want to learn how to make $1 million in racing, then bring a couple million. So it takes money to make money in the racing industry. It's real easy to lose money. As a matter of fact, I think most people consider it a hobby and not a sport because you spend a lot of money on that hobby.
Hobby? Yeah. Well, yeah. I just had somebody today ask me if I wanted to sponsor their race car, and I said, "Well, what do you race?" And he said, "A 4-cylinder." I said, "Oh, so you race a trophy class?" Yeah, I'm not interested. I'm like, I'm not gonna just open up my checkbook for you. No, not happening. So, but apparently Honda has decided that they want to enter the world of NASCAR.
Yeah, wait. According to sources,
well,
this is not true. But speak on what the rumor is right now, because you're jumping right into it. Of course, we've been quick to talk about Bubba Wallace on here. We've been quick to say that, you know, there's obviously some issues going on. It started earlier in the year when he was kind of making hints that he didn't have a good sponsor. And then now this bout with depression, and all of a sudden there's some silly season NASCAR rumors floating around, Craig. What have you heard? Tell us what you've seen today.
According to AutoRacing1.com's Twitter, rumor and innuendo is my one of the gentlemen that I like to listen to, Conrad Thompson, likes to say. Rumor and innuendo is that Petty Andretti Motorsports is coming to NASCAR with Honda cars and funding. So, Michael Andretti looks like he needs to go on the keto diet. But besides that, it looks like, according to rumor and innuendo on AutoRacing1.com website, that and this is today.
The president has warned us about fake news, Craig. The president has warned us that there's fake news out there. And then the Democrats, you're Democratic, that's awesome. If you're a Democrat, you need to listen to another show. But if okay. But we'll get back to script here. So the Democrats they say that everything Trump says is fake news. But Trump tells us that everything that you read on CNN and MSNBC, that's fake news. Unfortunately, Craig Moore, we're working off of something that says AutoWeek1.com. It's not a preferred source here. So, but we've been able to track the actual source where the rumor started from, Craigmore, and that was on Mike Wallace's Facebook page. And I've done some research, Craigmore. This is Mike Wallace's Facebook page. You know how I know?
Because it's got a check mark by it?
No, not because it has a check mark by it, but it's really close. And I'm not gonna feed the audience too long. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go. I seen him do a Facebook Live, and let me tell you something. That ugly son of a gun, it was definitely Mike Wallace.
Well, anyway, let me get back to. Does he need the keto diet too, like Michael Andretti does?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh my goodness.
He needs to see whoever works on Richard Childress. But anyway, that's the point.
Former NASCAR driver and current NASCAR TV personality Mike Wallace has posted on social media that Petty Andretti Motorsports is coming to NASCAR with Honda cars and funding. Not much better way to get Honda Motor Car Company into NASCAR with two iconic names to be the spokesman for their brand, Richard Petty and Mario and Michael Andretti. Michael Andretti, and this is a quote, is the best positioned team outside of NASCAR to bring Honda into stock car racing, given their current lead relationship in IndyCar with Honda. First off, they need to learn English if they're going to phrase it that way. Given their current relationship.
See, once again, we're reading off of a nunchuck site. Go ahead. Fake news. This is fake news. Go ahead.
With former NASCAR crew chief executive Robin Pemberton already employed at Andretti. Sounds like it's a done deal. Everything's done but the announcement. We have no idea if Mike Wallace has good sources or not. So it is, as I said in the beginning of my little spiel, rumor and innuendo. And if you don't know who Conrad Thompson is, Google him.
I don't know if you're saying out the window, because I guarantee you that's what we're going to do with this rumor. We're going to throw it out the window. Because I don't believe it's any truth to it. Now, I'm not saying that Petty Enterprise isn't going to come back. I'm not saying that Andretti and Petty doesn't sound like spaghetti, and when they're in victory lane, everybody's going to throw confetti. I'm not saying none of that, okay? But what I'm saying is the sources that we're getting this kind of information from is not from Forbes magazine. It's not from the New Yorker. This is some blog that has picked up on a so-said rumor, and at this point in time, Craig, that's all that it is. And to be honest with you, I think we're going to get our hearts broke next week when they come out and say Petty Enterprise will only be fielding a part-time car, and they will be selling their charter to an undisclosed, rumor has it, Richard Childress Racing, another rumor in an opposite universe is that Tyler Reddick is coming Cup Racing and RCR has purchased the charter from RPM. So we're getting two conflicting rumors here with neither one being confirmed by either side. This is silly season and we're not making this shit up.
My God, no, we would never deliver fake news. We are not speaking that.
No, we're not in the business. We're in the business of talking about what you the fan wants to talk about. We're in the business. In other words, if it ain't worth talking about, me and Craig Moore are not going to waste our precious hour and a half time talking about it. That's why a lot of our topics are a lot of times, you know, it's on script. We talk about a lot of the same stuff week in, week out. You know why? Because we know you, the listener, that's what you want to hear. You don't want to hear stats. You don't want to hear us read paragraphs from something off the internet. You want my opinion and you want Craig's opinion. And I'll tell you somebody who keeps getting hammered over their opinion. That's our good buddy Chaz Thompson. He's getting rock and rolled out there in the Twitterverse, and he's even had a response from Kyle Larson. I think we might have that one on record here, Craig. Can we jump ship real quick from this crazy, I mean, Craig Moore, we're talking about all of a sudden taking the bottom franchise of Cup racing, and it's unfortunate to have Petty and bottom of the cellar dweller in the same sentence. And I believe that in itself, Craig Moore, is the reason why we want this rumor to be so true. And let me tell you the deal with Honda. Honda made a change a few years ago. They made their cars look more like stock cars. They made them look more like the Camry. And from there on, I wondered and I've questioned, is Honda's, you know, next move going to be to NASCAR? Because NASCAR has been searching for a new manufacturer. And the best time to bring it in is 2021 when we have the new Generation 7 car come out, Craig, because that would give them plenty of time to work on the design and the motor, where that's going to come from. Now, whether or not it's an OEM motor or it's a standard motor that's similar to what the truck series is using, I'm not sure. I know Toyota, they say that, you know, that's actually a Dodge motor with Toyota emblems on it. I'm not here to discuss all that or get into it.
Listen, I need to ask you a question real quick. Is your ADHD flaring up again?
Why is that?
Well, because, and I'm not picking on you because I have it too, but I've got to ask. We were just going to talk about Chaz Thompson, and then you go back to the Honda thing. Pick a subject and stick to it there, Southern boy.
But wait a minute. What I did was I left a bookmark for you, right? Okay, because I engaged the conversation. I left a bookmark for you to go and get the script of what Kyle Larson said in response to Chaz Thompson. And in the end, I wanted to finish talking about this Honda conspiracy to NASCAR, because I know and I feel in our heart that we want something really great to happen to Petty Motorsports or Petty Enterprise. We don't want the king to fall. And so,
no,
you know, you've got an idiot, which Chaz is. Chaz is an idiot at times, and he creates this dust storm, but he knows how to attract responses. And you know, the response right now that we have with Richard Petty Motorsports has been, and it's been the same story, that team looks pathetic. No wonder Bubba Wallace is so damn depressed driving that car. Of course, it makes sense, but we're trying to read too much in at one time. Now, I'm done with the whole Richard Petty Motorsports conspiracy theory, and I'm ready to talk about Chaz Thompson. Do you have that ready?
I do have it ready, but let me go
because
back.
Because we are giving Chaz Thompson too much airtime at this point in time. As a matter of fact, we've said Chaz Thompson so many times that I guarantee you, Craig Moore, we've already lost some listeners because they cringe at the name Chaz Thompson.
Well, here's what Chaz Thompson said, and then we'll get off of the Chaz Thompson soapbox, and we'll get some listeners back. Chaz Thompson needs to get off the food box, but that's besides the point.
just you know, they talk about Black Twitter. Look up Chaz Thompson on Twitter, and you're talking about a man who gets grilled every day. And the response
is he looks like he eats off the damn grill. But I digress.
Anyway.
Let me go to what he said.
Anyway,
in charge up KLR team, but that punk can't handle tweets from me and blocked me a year ago. Personally, if Larson ran PA weekly, he'd be out of the top five consistently. He stays on his sugar daddy's porch and at NASCAR anyway, so he can race safe cars. Now, here's Kyle Larson's tweet. Apparently, Kyle Larson unblocked him from Twitter.
apparently, because he was
apparently,
able to respond.
And allegedly, Kyle Larson unblocked him from Twitter because this was Kyle Larson's response. And I just love cut to Kyle Larson. I think we should try to get him on the show while he's on an underfunded team.
Oh, my God. Anyway,
big teams, we can't seem to get him. Hold on. Here's Kyle Larson's response. Man, life's good with your obnoxious asses blocked. I do look forward to feeling your creepy presence floating around our pit sometime this year, though. See you soon.
So you almost wonder, is there a friendship there, right? I mean, Larson was a – I mean, he – you know what? I've never been a Larson fan, but to hear him battle a troll and to hear the troll, you know, I mean, look, he was trolling the troll, and that's fun. That's funny. The only reason why we're talking about it right now is because it's fucking hilarious, man. I love it.
I'd have to do a tweet on the Race Chat Live page and tweet to both of them and ask them to come on the show as guests together and see if we get a retweet back.
Now, I would love it. It would be really awesome to give them a platform so that they could actually, we could have one on each. But I believe that's where, you know, once again, you can't really do that if you're in Kyle Larson's shoes, because you're opening up what could be a poop storm. And I know we let a couple cuss words slip today, and that's fine. I don't worry about that anymore. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, it kind of puts Kyle Larson in a very vulnerable situation, because Chaz Thompson will come at you with everything that he has. And so you can probably doubt that, but the response is classic, man. I mean, it's, you know, he wants to see in there. Kyle Larson knows that Chaz Thompson has a following. Kyle Larson knows that Chaz Thompson has stirred up enough attention to be credible, just even if they consider him Alex Jones of the dirt track racing world. And I think that's where, you know.
You ever read a book by Eric Bischoff called Controversy Creates Cash?
Yes. I mean, I've heard of it. I've never read it.
You need to read it. And if you can't read, get the audiobook version. Great for business.
And I can go back to a quote by Dale Earnhardt. It doesn't matter if they're cheering me or booing me, at least there's a reaction. And I think that's kind of where Chaz Thompson has people's attention, and he doesn't care if they boo him. He doesn't care,
right?
Because there's just as many idiots that love him every time that he gets something started. It gives people something to do, and I'll be honest with you, Craig, it creates content and it gives us something to talk about. Where, you know, I'm neither a fan nor a foe of Chaz Thompson. He does his own thing. We've allowed him to come onto the show. We've heard what he believes in, and some of it has enough character. It has enough backing to believe in. Yeah, it has enough. There's some legit stuff in what he says, okay? But then in other things, we also know that deep down inside, it's a show, and he's admitted to us that it's a show. And that's the entertainment factor, man. It's one of the great things about having these platforms, Craig. If you want to be an idiot and you want to jump out of a tree without a rope, well, just hope one of your buddies is smart enough to film it, because there's going to be a million views over it.
Well, listen, we're talking about Chaz Thompson and Kyle Larson real quick, which brings me back, and I know you haven't been on Facebook because y'all down in Tuzuba, Mississippi, have a village-wide yard sale for the next seven days.
It's more than a village-wide. It goes all the way to Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. Okay, because Bristol is right. Yeah, it stretches that far. It's called Antique Alley. And just so for like five straight days, everybody on Highway 80, they sit out on their front porch and they sell yard sale stuff. And people all the way from the East Coast drive all the way down here to where we are and to check out our yard sale stuff. But it's Antique Alley, Craig Moore. So there's vendors here from all over the world, all over the United States. And I'm surprised that people like American Pickers and all haven't picked up on this, what we call Antique Alley, and actually made the drive through here, because there is some classic stuff, my brother. And there's homemade stuff. People sit around all year long and they build stuff in their shop. And this is the moment where you can find a swing set that's been handmade. You can find a Darth Vader grill. I mean, a Darth Vader a fire pit, you know, carved from a man inside of his shop throughout the whole year.
Yes. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a really cool deal, and it's great to be a part of it. It's right here on our highway, and like I said, it stretches from our hometown all the way up to Bristol, Virginia, and it's a really cool deal. And so, yeah, but anyway, as ADHD kicked in again, Craig, bring me back.
I hear you. So I just want to go one more thing with this whole like this whole little war between Chaz Thompson and Kyle Larson. Now, it all might be a work, as they say in the world of sports entertainment, and we'll never know. But earlier last night, I got a screenshot from a friend of mine, well, of a colleague of mine. I won't say a friend, but a colleague of mine who owns a DJ business. And another local DJ has decided that it's time for him to run his mouth about me. Well, I've let him do it quite a few times over the last 5 years and have only retorted once. Well, today I decided to retort pretty heavy. And all he did was help me promote my karaoke contest for next April, which is cool. I thank him for that very much. But it is. It just brings up stuff. It, you know, inadvertently, whether he knows it or not, he's helping me promote my own gig while making himself look stupid. And again, I'm going to tweet out to Kyle Larson and Chaz Thompson and invite him on just to see what the response is. But I got to ask you a question. Now, I don't know if you watch a truck race Friday night or not.
I mean, who the hell are you talking to, Craig Moore? I was sitting on the edge of my seat on both races this weekend, so I'm glad you finally brought it up. Let's talk about Kansas.
Let's talk about Kansas. They need to repay that track, but until they do that. Stewie, Mr. Freeze, now neither one of us picked him for Friday night. He wins both stage one and stage two. They had a caution with, I think it was 20 to go. He comes in, he gets, or no, I'm sorry, 40 to go. He gets tires and he gets gas. Well, there was a miscommunication.
Yeah,
he thought they
tires.
Were going for two. They were going for four. So as soon as the jack dropped on the right side, he took off.
Right.
Well, the miscommunication was that they were going for four. Well, they knew they were going to be short. Then they had two cautions. And his crew chief said, you've got enough fuel, don't worry about it. You've saved fuel, that's enough. We've got enough to get us to the end of the race. 2.5 laps to go, he's got a 4.5, 5-second lead. What happens? He runs out of gas.
With three laps to go, Craig. The dominant truck all weekend long. Stewie had that 52 Halmar Chevrolet Silverado on a rail. He rolled through traffic. It didn't matter where he stuck that 52. It went there. And unfortunately, a bad call on pit road, which meant that he had to have four tires because why, Craig? He had to have fuel. So there was not enough fuel to stretch it to the end. And I believe you actually come out later on and you believe that Stewie owned up to the mistake there, right? And he said that it had to have been his fault, Craig, because the crew chief would have known that there wasn't going to be enough fuel. So somewhere it got crossed up, but Stewie eventually
even the announcer said in the telecast, he's got enough fuel to make it to the end. His crew chief has confirmed they got enough fuel to make it to the end. With the two cautions, he's got enough fuel to make it to the end. Now, yes, did he own up to it? Yes. Do I think he owned up to it to save face? Yes. But he also is an owner on that team. They don't call that Halmar Freeze and Racing for nothing. He's an owner on that team.
So now, do you think that the crew chief was just trying to coach Stewie? In other words, the crew chief knew in his head that it probably wasn't enough, but he didn't want his driver to back down. Because either way, you were going to be two laps, and if it was at the three-lap mark, which I believe it was three laps to go when he ran out of gas, did the crew chief just suck that one up and say, go get him, Stewie, and hope for the best? And that was kind of how it ended there. It wasn't for the best. Unfortunately, he did run out of fuel.
Yeah, I think his crew chief was sugarcoating it.
Right.
Because
this is heartbreaking. They're calling Stewart Friesen, and look, we're big supporters of Stewie, but they're calling him a choke artist. They're saying that he can't get it finished. And if you've seen the interview at the end of the race when the interviewer asked, when he pulled Stewie back, and he said, do you think you're going to be able to get a win pretty soon? For the first time, I seen that sting of lack of confidence in Stewie when he said, I just don't know. You know, like, it should have already happened. So the frustration is building within Stuart Friesen because he's not been able to seal the deal. And Craig, we go back to last year at this time. Stewie's been running good for a whole year. He's got to get this monkey off his back. It kind of reminds me of high school football, you know, us talking about Stewie every week. You know, it's like, you know, is it finally going to happen? You know, are the city team, are they finally going to beat the county school? You know, it reminds me of high school football. Is Stewie ever going to get the monkey off his back and get him a win, Craig? It's every week. You know, even us this past week, we refused to pick him for what? Because we didn't want to jinx it, man. We didn't want to jinx it. And so we're not the jinx. This is a sure enough. He needs to go. And whatever Kyle Larson did, I think Stewie may need to go follow up on that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's worth it. And go to a witch doctor. But,
yeah,
it was heartbreaking.
Somebody needs to give him a lucky penny or a horseshoe or something, a rabbit's foot. Somebody needs to help Stuart out. And if you've got a lucky something sitting around your house, Craig, please be my friend. Be everybody's friend. I have seen enemies of Stuart that have been pulling for him. And I'll use one, and he doesn't listen to the show. His name's Paul. And so he's never been a big fan of Stuart Friesen. But over the last several times of Stewie not completing the deal, even now it seems like you have publicly ridiculed this guy, but yet now you sound like you're pulling for him. So that's how heartbreaking it is when you've got a guy that you know can win and just hasn't been able to pull it off. There's another kid in Cup right now that's doing the same darn thing, 3 second place finishes in a row. We've given him a hard time on this show. Craig, who am I talking about?
Oh, Mr. Alex Bowman. That poor
Alex
guy.
Bowman.
That poor guy. Hmm. He tweeted out. He was like, you could tell when you listen to his interviews over the three that he got for 3 weeks. The first one, he was like, this is so cool, a second place finish, yeah. And then it wasn't so cool anymore. And the last one, he was like, I wanted it. I'm going to see if I can find his tweet.
It's so heartbreaking to see these guys, you know, Stewart and Alex Bowman come so close, and yet on Alex's behalf, he just didn't know how to close it. He didn't know how to, you know, there's been only so many times he's been put in that situation, and, you know, unfortunately, third time wasn't the charm for him. He wasn't able to pull the deal off, and Brad Keselowski, you know, who would have thought with three laps to go that we were going to say Brad Keselowski was the winner? You know, Alex had that race won until the end there. And Brad Keselowski, of course, he was the winner. And look, we're not even talking about Ross Chastain. Ross Chastain should have been our opening headline, right, for a guy who's put in the dirt, who's put in. But unfortunately, you know, he's overshadowed by Stewart's inability to win the race. But how about Ross Chastain, Craig Moore?
Oh, no, that's phenomenal.
The watermelon farmer.
He was in the right place at the right time. Listen, going back to Alex Bowman real quick, and I found his clip on Twitter, and I'm going to see if I can play it. It's pretty loud, so it should be able to go through pretty good. But in the fan vote, this was earlier today from the NASCAR Twitter. With less than 24 hours ago, there's been a shuffle at the top of the hashtag All-Star Race fan vote. Alex Twitter's response was, I'll probably end up second.
No, he didn't. Are you serious, or is that a parody? Are you just playing?
No. Nope,
did he really say
sure
that he'll probably end up second?
I would never shit you. You're my favorite turd.
bless Alex Bowman's heart, man. We don't have a bless somebody's heart moment too many times on this freaking show, but bless his heart. Oh, my gosh. He'll probably come in second. And, you know, at least he's not having a battle Chase Elliott.
I mean, you just feel for it. I mean, you know that he wanted it really, really bad. It's just a shame. It's just a shame. So, but let me see. I'm going to scroll down here to his live video. Leaving Kansas last week. Let's see if I can get it to play.
Yeah, I can't really hear it, Craig.
So there you go. I mean, here's another one. He owns up to it. I don't know if you can hear it. He just said bad lane choices on his part. And he then tweeted right before that, I never wanted something so bad, not going to lie. This one hurts. My team has worked like crazy, though, to get us to where we're at. And I'm proud of what we've done. Keep going to keep after it and get that win we deserve. So, you know, the good thing is he's taking ownership for it. And he realizes that it was bad lane choices on his part. And, you know,
we've seen the fan vote win this race, win the All-Star race. Casey Kane did it quite a few years ago, but we've seen somebody voted in to this race that wound up winning it once before. So, you know, Alex is going to have to either win the fan vote or race his way in through the open. But a win's a win, Craig Morton. If he doesn't get in, I guarantee you that win's going to fit. Even if he wins the open, a win is a win, and he'll feel a lot more confident about it.
Oh, absolutely.
Flat traffic did beat him, man. And he was looking in the rear view, wondering where Brad Keselowski was going to go, and it didn't work out for him. He should have paid attention to the cars in front of him and not the car behind him.
Yeah, now I got to let's switch gears from Alex Bowman real quick. I'm sure you're aware that there's a Champions Journal that goes around NASCAR, correct?
Yes.
All right, well, guess who finally got the Champions Journal for 2018. That would be Joey Logano finally got the NASCAR Champions Journal for Martin Truex last night at Truex's catwalk. He said that he forgot to give it to him. I don't think he really forgot to give it to him. I think he was holding on to it.
Yeah, it was a little feud between those two, definitely.
Absolutely.
Truex, I believe, was quoted in saying that he hadn't found anything nice to say on the racetrack yet about Joey, and that was kind of the holdout on the journal there. But I think it's pretty cool that they passed a championship journal. I mean, I didn't know anything about that before this, so it was news to me that they did something unique and cool like that. And, you know, it does make a champion. It's okay. Do you know how awkward it's going to be to have Obama and Donald Trump in the same room together when it finally happens, when they have the greetings of the presidents? Eventually, the reason why they tell the past presidents not to get involved with politics until once they're president, to let it be, don't bash the next up-and-coming president, is because they're all going to have to be in the same room together eventually. No matter what.
They all got to show up to one another's funeral.
Exactly. And they're going to have to shake hands publicly. And so anything that they put out, in opinion-wise, is disregard to the club that they've been voted into. The American presidency is one of the most pronounced clubs ever in the world, right? I mean, there's a certain honorary thing that you do with the with a former president, just like it's a formal thing to pass along the journal. You know, we hear about the presidents pass along a journal too. So there's kind of a connection there between a champion and a president. How cool is that?
That is very cool. Now this championship journal, this champion's journal. Do you know what year it started in?
I'm so glad you got this. No.
2011.
Oh.
He writes, here it is. In 2017 Instagram post during Champions Week, Jimmy Johnson revealed the tradition that he started at the suggestion of NASCAR Vice President Mike Helton. Johnson gave it to Truex after the New Jersey Navigators won the 2017 championship. The thought being the outbound champion writes a letter to the newest champion and hands it off at Champions Week. Well, apparently, this just furthers the dig a little bit more that Martin didn't feel that Logano was worthy to be champion because that should have been done in December, not May.
Yeah. But Martin also carried the chip on his shoulder too for some reason.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he was shunned as the champion in NASCAR. Remember, Brian Frantz didn't even shake his hand. So it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah. Since the first entry in 2011, the journal has been held by Tony Stewart, Brad Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Johnson again, Truex, and now Logano. While there may be a bit of delay, the journal is now in the Team Penske driver's hand, given to him at an event last night at the catwalk. And that's actually awesome, the catwalk for a cure that Martin Truex and Sherry Pollock do, because Sherry had, I believe it was breast cancer. So all the NASCAR drivers come to the event. Even Joey Logano showed up. And the first why? Because it's good PR.
No, I said right.
Oh, I thought you said why. I was going to say because
PR. But I do have a thought. I do have a thought back on the previous, but go ahead.
It's in its 10th anniversary of the Martin Truex Foundation signature event, fundraise to support cancer initiatives at Atrium Health and Novit Health Center in Charlotte. So, this is a good thing that they've done. I mean, the first year, 10 years ago, they raised $7,000.
Wow.
$7,000 the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they raised $600,000. This year, they were projecting to raise $1 million. That's with an M. $1 million. Final numbers they're not releasing as of yet. But apparently, Linda McReynolds loves to bet on, buy things on auction. Well, last night she bought apparently quite a bit, according to Kelly Earnhardt Ellis, because Larry was up walking the catwalk. And I'd love to DJ that event. that'd be a dream come true right there. And there was an signed AC/DC guitar. And apparently Larry McReynolds is a huge AC/DC fan. And there's no word on whether or not she actually purchased it. But Kelly Earnhardt Ellidge said that she wanted to bid on it. She sent her husband a text message, and he said, why don't we just buy a guitar that the kid can play instead of one that's going to hang on the wall?
Mm.
And, but there's no proof that Linda McReynolds bought it. But, of course, if she did, Larry really couldn't say anything because he was up on the catwalk and she was getting quite fever. What I heard today on Sirius XM radio. So, I don't know. I just think it's cool, this whole championship, just Champions Journal. I think it's a cool I think it's a cool tradition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you were going to say something. And
Yeah, look back on the journal. Has there been a single time to where the journal wasn't passed? In other words, have we had consecutive champions since this journal has started, or has it been another? Has it been a different champion every year except for Jimmy Johnson's?
Well, it's the since 2011. That was when the first journal was done. It's been held by Tony Stewart, Brad Keselowski, Johnson, Harvick, Kyle Busch, Johnson again, Truex, and Logano. So it has changed hands every year.
Then do we have anything to bitch about when it comes to parody, when it comes to, you know, I mean, Jimmy Johnson won like five championships in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, ever since 2011, we've had just one two-time champ, and it's Jimmy Johnson to add to his seventh championship, to his sixth and seventh. But we've had every year somebody else, and that's, you know, or at least a new champion. That says a lot about the treadways that we've made in the sport over the last, you know, eight, nine years, Craig. You look back on it, and the stats start adding up in a different. When you would have done from 2011 through 2004, my goodness, you would see Jimmy Johnson's name, Jimmy, and you're like, oh my gosh, it sounds like a broken record. Now all of a sudden you take the last 7, 8, 9 years, and we have a lot of different winners. We have a new guy at the top of the throne. His name's Kyle Busch. You know, 10 years ago it was Jimmy Johnson. Now it's Kyle Busch. We're seeing a trend that's moving in a direction that I think is great for the fans. Different drivers winning, a different champion every year. You know, to sit back and think, Brad Keselowski's won 30 races over his career, and it all started in 2009 with the Carl Edwards wreck at Talladega. Can you believe that over the last 10 years you've watched this kid win 30 times? That's an average of 3 races a year since he started racing. I think people are underestimate Brad Keselowski, Craig. I really do. And he's definitely moving his way towards being a first-time ballot for the Hall of Fame. He's the most winningest driver ever at Penske Racing.
Yeah, no, I think that he's phenomenal. I was looking at another stat here. I'm trying to pick up a stat for I'm curious to know, and I don't know if you know this, and I'm trying to find it out, but there's $1 million on the line. I'm not going to ask you who you think is going to win it. What I want to know is, do you know of that $1 million, how much the percentage of the driver gets?
Wow. Now, we talked about this one already, and I told you not to tell me, so I'm going to have to take a lucky guess. Oh, hell, I thought you did your homework.
I'm doing it now. We've been arguing about it. But I'm asking you. I want to hear your answer.
You want to hear my guess. I would say 65% goes to the driver.
So you're thinking you get $650,000 of that million?
Well, yeah, somewhere around $300,000, because you know Uncle Sam's going to get half of it.
Well, all right. Well, we'll come back to that. I just wanted to get your thoughts, so that way I had it in audio form.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back to that before the end of the show. Now, here I'm gonna ask you a question,
mm-hmm.
and I want a serious answer.
Uh oh.
What do you think of Jimmy Johnson's paint scheme for the All-Star race?
Finally, something different, Craig. Finally, something different.
Yeah, well,
now,
I
love it. Creativity is my favorite, and you know, we talked about the millennial car last week with Kevin Harvick. This week, we're going to talk about Jimmy Johnson, the Ally Camaro, and I tell you, it's something new. It's called digital camo.
Yep.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen, man. And they're comparing it to the old smoke car. Which was driven by, was it BP? Benny Parsons, or was it
you're having a mind blank.
Oh my gosh,
that
I can't believe I'm having a brain freeze. Yeah, I can't think of his name right now.
Buckshot Jones?
No. His
Buddy
father's
Baker?
Name was Buck. He died here recently. He was on. He was a commentator. Buck Baker.
Oh, okay, Buddy Baker.
Buddy Baker. Yeah. Yeah, I think Buddy Baker. Either it was BP, Benny Parsons, or Buddy Baker that drove the Smoke 88 car. It was a black and silver car that you couldn't see until it was right up on you, you know, and so they called it the ghost car.
Look at Jeff Gordon's paint scheme from the late 90s with the Chromalite from DuPont. It changed colors under, you know which one I'm talking about?
No.
It changed colors under the lights.
Oh, wow.
So you were a youngin' back then, but it would change colors under the lights, so that way it would play mind games with you.
Right.
One time it one corner it might be this color, the next corner it could be another color, it could be blue, next corner it could be red, it could be yellow, it could be green. It all depended on the how the light hit the paint.
What do we call that? Slipping chameleon.
Yeah, now they so
I don't know.
here's what I don't have. I'm trying to find the actual prize money purse, but it's $1 million. $1 million.
I would figure, Craig, that these earnings come off of a personal contract, and each driver would take amount that is in their contract and not just a specific amount designated by NASCAR.
Yeah, well, I would think that if I'm out there busting my ass and wanted running for $1 million, I'm going to get close to what you said, but I'm still trying to, because we literally talked about this at 7:45 and went on the air at 8 o'clock.
Wait a minute, let me argue with you for this 1 second.
Oh, gee,
You're telling me that if I wreck this $1 million race car, it comes out your pocket. But if I win $1 million in your race car, I'm keeping most of the money?
Well, that's how it should
be. Play a devil's advocate here, okay? I'm on both sides of the fence here. I mean, I'm swagging while you're swaying. So I want you to tell me, if I wreck this car, you pay for it. If I win in victory lane, I keep the money. How is that fair?
Well, who's putting their life on the line?
Who gave you the wheels to put your life on line?
Obviously, you thought I had the talent to do it, or you wouldn't have done it. No, I can't say that.
So you're saying since it's an expedition race, and I think that's what your comment is there. This is an expedition race.
No,
this
isn't
the real deal. But
this
race,
exhibition race.
Did I say exhibition?
Yeah, no, they're not driving naked, sir.
Sorry. Expedition?
Yeah, no, they're not exhibitionists. It's an exhibition. Right.
I can just see the back of a Ford right now, so leave me alone. Expedition.
Well, you should be driving a Honda Fit.
Oh, crap.
Where do you go?
But anyway, back to the point. So you think since it's a throwaway race that checkers or wreckers, it should be on the driver, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to bring home that winner, don't you?
Yeah. Checkers or wreckers. That's what it's all about for this all-star race. Except, you know, unfortunately, we've only had one that ended that way, and I believe that was the one hot night in 1992, Davey Allison, Kyle Petty.
Well, if you remember back, I believe it was 2000.
That's the state for disappointment for the rest of our lifetime. Go ahead.
If you remember back to 2003, maybe, I think it was, where they ran the track, they ran the race, it had rained, They had ran the race. They didn't get the entire track dry.
Yep, and all the cars went up into the corner and wrecked.
Yep, they allowed them to get out backup cars, and I forget who won that night. I believe it was Kyle Busch. I'm not 100% certain. I do not remember. But they allowed them to get backup cars out and run the All-Star race, and I don't think they've ever done that since.
No, no, that was a one-of-a-kind, one-of-a-kind time deal.
Now,
I will tell you. We've had some events for Carl Edwards. I can't remember what year Carl Edwards won the race and took it off through the infield and tore the whole bottom out from up underneath the car. I believe that was maybe 07 with the Car of Tomorrow. But that, he hit a drain or something down there in the infield.
Yeah.
And tore the whole front end of it up. I mean, there's been exciting things. Michael Waltrip winning, Dale Earnhardt winning his first race at Charlotte. Jeff Gordon, I think that was his first win as well. Casey Kane got voted in that one year, and he was able to win. So it's always exciting. Now, Craig, I wish that they would bring back the Pit Crew Challenge and the Burnout Challenge and, you know, really hype up the All-Star. But I think this is going to be one of the races that really gets a change under the peanut can.
All right, so now I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you. Who wins the Open?
Well, I don't know. I think Bowman wins the Open.
I'm going to tell you who I think wins the Open.
And then he's going to automatically get in, and he won't have to use the fan vote. Bowman's got something to prove. He does, and I think that he's going to go out, and he's going to put a whooping on everybody out there because, you know, he's not facing Kyle Busch. He's not facing Chase Elliott. He set that 88 out there, let it open up, and y'all been on a run. You just raced at a mile and a half speedway, so you should be able to bring what you learned there over to Charlotte and hope that you don't beat yourself at the shop, you know. But if Bowman does, I have to go with Alex Bowman, Craig. I don't know, you know, he's not going to get in either. He's going to have to either race his way in or he's got to get in by fan vote. So, you know, I think Alex is going to put it in his own hands. He's going to go out there and he's going to win it.
Yeah, I think Alex Bowman is going to win it. He's got something to prove. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think he's going to win the Open. I don't think he's going to win the All-Star race. I think your boy, Mr. Kevin Harvick, Mr. I'm Not So Happy, is going to win the All-Star race.
Wouldn't it be ironic to have to drive that thing into victory lane?
Wouldn't it be ironic, don't you think? That just made me think of that song, Ironic, by Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette. That's right. Yeah.
A little off in topic trivia question, but this is about your age group. Do you remember what show she starred in on Nickelodeon? A little useless trivia here on Race Chat Live.
Clarissa Explains It All?
No. She was on the You Can't Do That on Television.
You Can't Do That. Right.
Yeah. That's a little useless trivia for you.
Wow. Way to go. Also, she was in Dogma, right?
I believe so. Now, let me ask you this. Daryl Waltrip won the All-Star race back in 1995?
No, 87.
87. Still, do you know what his winning purse was?
No.
Take a guess. It wasn't $1 million, my friend. It was not anywhere near $1 million.
$200,000.
That is it. That is all he won for that All-Star race. It is amazing. Go forward 20 years, not even 20, and how that prize went five times that amount. Now you know why that race is called Checkers or Wreckers. $200,000 is a lot of money to you and me. $200,000 to a team owner ain't jack shit.
Yeah.
They spend that on food at the hotel.
Yeah.
You know,
that's part of their yearly expense.
Right. So, I mean, I know the NASCAR drivers, they're loving being home for the next 2 weekends because they get to sleep in their own bed. They get to eat. They get to go in their own refrigerator. They don't have to sleep in a hotel or a bus. And even Cole Pern was excited this year about coming to Charlotte because he gets to sleep in his own bed, in his own house, open his own refrigerator. Whereas when he worked for Furniture Row, they stayed in a hotel because they were not based in Charlotte.
Yeah, they were based out of Colorado.
Right. Now they're talking about possibly moving the All-Star race every couple of years. And he said, oh, God, I hope they don't do that. I just bought a house here.
Well, I guarantee you they're going to keep the All-Star race in the belt here, in the beltway. And if anything, I expect it to be at Nashville Speedway in 2021, Craigmore. I feel very confident that NASCAR and SMI are working diligently to make sure something happens at the Nashville Speedway there at the fairgrounds in Nashville, Tennessee.
Now, let me ask you a question. We're getting too close to the top of the hour. Let me ask you a question. I want to get your take on this. If you're racing three to go, are you going to wreck your mother to take a checkered flag?
I mean, would I be in a race car?
Well, yeah. You wouldn't
Didn't
be on your
answer,
bicycle.
Yeah.
All right, well, apparently Clint Boyer needs a tampon or something.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. The feminists are already tweeting us.
Oh, good, good, good. It'll keep our At Race Chat Live Twitter feed going.
And this part of the show is sponsored by Playtex. It slides in real good.
I believe Miss Lee is listening. So,
oh, Lord.
You know how you didn't get fired already?
Yeah. Yeah.
See ya.
All right. Let's get serious.
So, apparently Clint Boyer has got his panties in a wad, and he's suffering from PEMS, putting up with Eric Jones' menstrual cycle.
But what did Eric Jones do wrong?
Not a damn thing. That's my point. He didn't do anything.
And Clint Boyer went to Eric Jones and was like, you know better than that beat. You know what I'm saying here? You know better than that beat. So obviously Clint in his own mind had more respect for Eric Jones, but didn't take into part that's the way they raced all night long, Craig. Did you not see the move Kyle Busch made? Where was Clint Boyer's pansy talk to Kyle Busch for near about wrecking him when Kyle jumped down to the bottom of the speedway? Well, Kyle got what he deserved. He got a flat tire or a rub on his tire. He had to go in the pits. But Clint Boyer going after Eric Jones, maybe just Clint needed to feel better for himself. I know he wants to win at Kansas, but you said Larry Mack had a lot to say about this. What was Larry Mack's take on it?
Larry Mack's take was pretty much the same thing mine is. Clint, it's three laps to go. It's not like it was 20 laps in and he's a lap down. You're going for the win. It's 3 to 4 laps to go. Of course he's going to race you hard. Quit your whining.
Eric Jones put out a block, right? Eric Jones put out a block. Well, you know what? Clint Boyer's boss put out a block one time too at Talladega and wrecked the whole damn field. And I swear, we didn't even know who won the race because we didn't see anybody make it through the wreck. And I'm talking about anybody. But somehow Matt Kenseth got away and he won that race. Those of us in the stands were too busy looking at the wreck. We never seen the finish of that race. Why? Because Tony Stewart pulled a block on the last lap. It happens, Clint Bowyer.
Which is exactly what you're supposed to do. You got to look at it this way. Aaron Jones is racing for his career. He is racing for a job. Point blank.
If Clint didn't like it so damn much, what should he have done, Craig? What should he have done?
He said, I should have wrecked him.
And that's what he should have done instead of crying about it, right?
Absolutely.
Put up or shut up, right?
I agree 110%.
And I love Clint Bowyer.
I love his videos on Twitter and Instagram.
That's hilarious.
Those things are hilarious, and his son Cash is just adorable. But
yeah.
You're get out of the car, and granted, now I will say that, and I've never driven a race car, and I don't know if you have, but I know that if I'm really PO'd and I'm jumping out of a race car, the last thing I want to see is a microphone in my face.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get what's on my mind.
Yeah.
Perfect example, Kyle Busch. Every time you stick a microphone in that man's face as soon as he gets out of the race car, or even when he gets to the media center, it's usually never good if he's gotten pissed off. But what do they
I think that's what the sport lacks, and it was perfect. It was perfect. You know, we need Clint Bowyer to be pissy. We need... We need character, and we need the drama. And so, you know, what Clint did was he created that for us, Craig. At the same time, it's kind of, you know, it's upsetting to know that he got that upset over something that, in other words, less of the talk and more of the punting. We want to see the chrome horn. We want to see,
exactly. Look,
with this race package that we have, it's enough of being friends out here on the racetrack. It's time to move people out of the damn way. And that's what we want to see, and that's what I think we all expect to see, and a little bit less of this crying, talking about he raced me hard, and a little bit more using the chrome horn. I think that creates better material than Clint Bowyer coming out. And we have to put ourselves in Clint's shoes. He's on contract here as well, right? And he's never been fully sponsored through the whole time that he's been at Stewart Haas Racing. So if somebody's out there that can bring more sponsorship, Clint Bowyer could be out of a rod once again. And so I'm sure that he wants his people to know that he's putting forth the best effort. But headlines on Monday or on Sunday would have been a lot better to see Clint Bowyer uses chrome horn than Clint Bowyer crybabies to Eric Jones, why'd you race me so hard? You know, it just, what's more attractive? Talking about the wreck or talking about somebody who was just a little upset at somebody else? Obviously, it's more content when he goes out there and uses his chrome horn, Craig.
Absolutely. And you know what? I agree. You know, yes, he's in a contract year. Yes, he's never been fully funded. And if... Now, this is, I'm just throwing this out there. Not that my mom's trying to conspiracy theory, but let's just say that Kyle Larson is being looked at by Kevin Harvick. Just saying. I don't know if it's true or not. Kyle Larson, he's a young guy. He's marketable. He can bring money to the team. Guess who's out of a ride?
Yeah.
Going to be Clint Bowyer.
Right.
And so Clint's got to do what he's got to do. And you know what? He should have punted his ass. He should have punted his ass if he was that upset.
It's the old guard versus the new guard, Craig. And you know, I think that Clint thought that Eric Jones should respect him more and race him better. But in reality, man, Eric Jones and Clint Bowyer are in the same boat. Both of them need to put some W's on their rap sheet, man.
They need, it's time to put up or shut up for both of them. But I guarantee you, if in that open, if they get near one another, it could be lights out.
Both of them are already in the All-Star race. Both of them have
all
wins from last year.
All right. So, that being said, if it comes down to the last four laps in the last stage, which is, I believe, 15 laps, I believe it's 30, 20, 20, and 15 for the shootout, which is nice because it used to be a 10-lap shootout at the end, and then they got cautions with two to go, and it ended up going to overtime. It's almost prevented from going to overtime. Almost. But if they're close to one another with two laps to go, 13 or 15 laps to go, guess what? One of them two is getting moved. Out of the way. And if I was Eric Jones, I'd punt Clint Boyer's ass into that wall as hard as I could do it.
So wait a minute. We're getting stirred up over something that probably will never come to fruition. But think about it. We're building a sheet for rivals, right? The oldest rival in the book right now is Brett Keselowski and Kyle Busch, right?
Right.
The newest rivalry is Eric Jones and Clint Boyer.
Right.
But we also have a rivalry between Joey Logano and Martin Truex.
Correct.
Wow. Wait a minute. I mean, we're building up a good sheet here, right?
That's
what this sport has been lacking is good guy versus bad guy. Now we've got six guys right here that we just named that have rivals with each other. And we're leaving off Denny Hamlin, and we're leaving off Chase Elliott, and we're leaving off who else? Well, those are the, you know, maybe there needs to be a rival between those two. Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin. That's a perfect rival, right?
Well, that's one that's still simmering.
Yeah.
But, again, if it comes down to the last two laps, you're going to see people take chances and do things that they wouldn't normally do. And I don't care whether you look at it good guy versus bad guy. That $1 million is on the line. I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring back that $1 million, even if I only get $50,000 of it.
Most definitely. But I feel like you're going to have to be in the fourth spot, fourth and forward, fourth, third, second, or first in order to capitalize on that $1 million. It's going to be really hard in the last segment of that race for somebody at 10th or on back to be able to race their way out. And look, we've got a good package going on here. These cars are racy. There's a draft effect in it that really helps cars. We've already seen two cars go all the way from the rear of the field to the front, you know, so that we know that it can happen. But this all-star race, people are going to be, you know, some people are going to be bringing packages that are just off script, and it's going to be a test session, and we can see somebody pull out, you know, with the right notebook, they can pull out from the rest of the field and run away with it. But I feel like if you're not fourth or better on that last restart, you're probably not in a good position to win it.
Right. I'm looking at average running positions. This is just the 2019 driver stats so far. The average running position. Guess who's leading the pack?
Who?
Kyle Busch. Busch.
Kyle
Joey Logano is second. His average running position is 8.5. Chase Elliott, 10.4. Kevin Harvick, 10.7. Martin Truex, 10.8. And I'm pulling up the rest, but it just goes to show you that, you know, Kyle Busch, I think, is your driver to, I think he's going to, I hate to say this, but I think he could take it all. I know that makes CJ probably happier than a pig in muck. And I don't really like to make CJ happy, but I'm going to. I think that Kyle Busch is your favorite to take it all. Unless somebody comes up and does something different.
Yeah, so we have we've got some local racing coming up this weekend. The Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series. Super late models are going to be down in Hattiesburg on Saturday at Wyandotte Motorsports Park on Saturday. We have kids get in free at where it's a weekly show. No. It's a weekly show, but kids get in free. We're going to have some bus races and some cool stuff like that. So go out this weekend and support your local dirt track.
What do you mean bus races?
Yeah, well, school bus races.
Get out of here, really?
Oh, man. It's a Southern tradition, Greg Moore. School bus racing. And I would almost want to say WWE style.
Really?
These guys put on a show, and I don't think any time we've ever had the bus races, we haven't had the whole crowd on their feet at the end, because no matter what, Rodney Wayne knows how to put on a show. He knows how to put on a great race. He also knows how to put on a great show, and so we expect only the best once again for this annual bus racing event that we have coming up this weekend. These school buses, boy, oh boy, you get them out on a 3/8 mile racetrack, dirt track, and anything and everything can and will happen.
All right, so let me ask you a question, because now you've
got you intrigued.
You got me intrigued. Now, they're full size buses, right? They're not the short bus that you rode as a kid, right? They're the full-size buses?
They're the full-size school buses, yes.
All right. So,
Bluebird.
Bluebird buses. We'll
mm-hmm.
give Bluebird a shout-out.
Mm-hmm.
Do they put roll cages in them, or are they straight off the we're not going to run these anymore for school kids? Are they modified any, like roll cages and stuff like that?
Not at all, Craig Moore. You don't even have to wear your seatbelt, but I would advise you to.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So there's no five-point harness, no nothing?
No, nothing like that. No, this is old school. There's a certain group that of course, takes part in this, and so they've choreographed things ahead of time. They know what each other's going to do. I hate to give it away, but I know somebody like you, you're like, what the hell? But these guys put a plan out together well ahead, and, you know, they try to stick to the script, of course, because you never know when one will try to cut through the infield to shorten a lap, or, you know, one's a little bit far behind, and they put their stop sign out on the racetrack so that all the buses have to stop, because, you know, it's illegal to go past that stop sign, even on a racetrack. So when I say it's a show, Craig Moore, I'm telling you, it's a show.
Well, listen, here's what you need to do. Here's what I need you to do, because I will be getting ready to DJ an after prom party. And by after prom, I mean the son of a gun starts at midnight and goes till 3 a.m. So what I need you to do is I need you to go live on Facebook, on the Race Chat Live page. Put your phone up to the window of the announcer's box and just record that. Go live so that way we can see it. I'm sure Rodney won't mind.
No, and I'll try to pull up last year's bus race as well. So I'll kind of get y'all filled in there on how we do things down here at Wyandotte Motorsports Park.
All right, well, real quick, before I go on to the betting lines for this weekend's All-Star Race, we have not had – Glen Ridge Motorsports Park was set to open last weekend. They tweeted out and they sent out a message on Facebook through their social media sites that while the track was ready to go, the infield and the pit area was not. It was saturated with water. They had practice last night at Glen Ridge.
Paul, keep trying to make deals, little buddy.
Is one of your kids trying to make deals to stay up later?
Yeah, sorry, I thought I hit the mute button. Whoops.
That's all right. I think it's cool. Glen Ridge Motorsports Park up in Fultonville, New York, did have practice last night. I talked to one of the drivers today, the four-cylinder class, and he said the track was bad fast. But the pit area was still a little soppy wet, and Well, unfortunately, we're going to get that dreaded R word again, starting overnight and going into sometime tomorrow. But Saturday and Sunday are supposed to be 80 plus degrees, so they're saying. I believe that the weather forecasters, that's the only job, the meteorology jobs are the only jobs you can have, you can be 90% wrong at and still get paid for. But anyway, so I don't really think Albany Saratoga is going to run tomorrow night. And I'm kind of doubtful for Glen Ridge and Fonda Saturday and Sunday, but we will have to see. Anyway, betting lines for this weekend. If you're betting on the All-Star race, which I think NASCAR, we actually talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I believe you had sent something out about it earlier this week, that NASCAR is considering opening up betting parlors at the tracks to increase attendance.
And attention.
And it's bringing attention, because we're talking about here on Race Chat Live, and nobody from NASCAR listens to this show, I can almost guarantee you. Because if they did, they'd probably shut our asses down. Or they'd give us a spot on Race Hub because we're hilarious. We could show Shannon Spake and Adam Alexander a thing or two.
Look, man, if people knew about us, they would listen to us over Dave Moody any day.
Well, I don't know about that, but thank
you. Well, what? What? I mean, Craig, we're funnier than Dave Moody.
Yeah, but have you seen a picture?
Our show beats anything on Sirius XM radio. I mean, we're just not getting paid to do it.
Absolutely. We got to talk. We got to renegotiate our contracts. CJ Sports, Miss Lee, we need to renegotiate. Just engage.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And they're going to send us a note saying, and where are you going? Where do we send flowers?
Anyway, Austin Dillon is a 50-1 long shot. Flying Ryan Newman is a 66-1 long shot. So if you like long shots, there you go. The opening odds for Mr. Seven Time, 20-1. His best All-Star finish. His All-Star finish last year was sixth. His best All-Star finishes, obviously, were in 03, 6, and 6, 12, and 13 when he won them, obviously. Eric Jones, we just talked about Eric Jones. He has no All-Star races, so he will get there at an opening of 18-1. Ryan Blaney, that boy needs to let his hair grow. He looks like a little girl. His odds are 18-1. His best All-Star finish was 11.
A little judgmental there?
I mean,
a little judgmental there, aren't we? I mean, you know. Are you jealous of the skinny guy with curly hair? The fat guy with stringy hair?
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough about me. And like the old Toby Keith song.
I'll have you drinking a Mountain Dew by the end of the night. You come on.
No, sir. I have not had one in 5 months. Eric Almirola, 16-1 odds. He wasn't in the 2018 version of it, but his best All-Star finish was in 15, and he finished 14. Best All-Star finish for Mr. Kurt Busch was 2010 when he won the damn thing. 2018, he finished 18th, oddly enough. In 18, he finished 18th. All right. Clint Bowyer, in 2018, he finished 19th. His best All-Star finish is 7th back in 2014. His odds are 13-1. Oh, Denny
Hamlin. Wow.
His best All-Star finish, Denny Hamlin's, in 2018 was 4th, which doesn't mean anything except you're the 3rd loser. His best All-Star finish was 2015 when he won the damn thing. His odds are 12-1. Chase Elliott. His best All-Star finish was the only All-Star race he raced in, which was last year. He finished 5th. He's
on vote.
He's finished. He's
He won last year's fan vote.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
His opening odds are 8-1. Martin Truex.
Vegas putting a lot of pressure on Chase Elliott, but Martin Truex.
Martin Truex Jr. His best All-Star race finish was second back almost a decade ago in 2010. Wow, I'm starting to imagine 2010 was a 9 years ago. Holy cow. His All-Star finish last year was 17th. He's going off 15-2. His opening odds are 15-2. Now, granted, these are all subject to change come Saturday after practice.
Right.
2018 All-Star finish for Mr. Joey Logano, last year's Monster Energy Cup Series champion. Excuse me. He won the whole damn show in 2016. But last year's All-Star finish was third. He's going off 15-2 as well. Brad Keselowski, who kind of reminds me of a woodchuck with his overbite.
I think he's more like Beavis.
Yeah, Beavis or Bud. Yeah, Beavis. Fire, fire, fire. His best All-Star finish was back in 2016 when he finished second. So he has yet to win this. His opening odds going forward, 7-1. Excuse me. Got a tickle in my throat. This is an ugly picture of your boy Kevin Harvick. He won last year's All-Star race, and then he won it 9 years previous. No, I'm sorry. 11 years previous in 2007. He's going off 13-2 in the opening odds. But if you get a chance, go to NASCAR.com and look at his picture. I might have to make a meme out of that picture just because. Kyle Busch.
Yep, I guess he's the one Vegas has favored.
He
4-1.
No, sir. His best All-Star finish was first back in 2017, but last year he finished ninth. He's going off 9-2 is his opening odds.
Wow. This is a 5.5-1. No, 4.5-1.
And then, so yes, he's 5-9-2. So his opening odds are 9-2. I'm going to tell you that Kyle Busch is going to be your All-Star winner. No, I'm going to stick with my pick with Harvick because I believe that he's going to show Anheuser-Busch that, listen, if you give me a pink car, for Christ's sake, I'm going to put that sucker in the, I'm going to race it for all it's got, and I'm going to put it in winners. I'm going to put it in victory lane, and I'm going to do it proudly.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you got Mr. CJ Sports cracking up here.
Well, it's about time he joins us. Frickin' slacker. CJ, who's your pick to win the All-Star race?
Maybe. Well, I know. I heard him laugh. You scared him off. I mean, damn. That's Pocatani Field.
That's because I picked Busch.
Picked Busch? But you picked Harvick, the other Busch. So you were envisioning a Busch, but it was Busch beer instead of Kyle Busch.
Correct. And I don't even like Busch beer.
Have I picked already?
Like,
have I made my pick already?
No, ma'am, you have not.
Wow, I got called a ma'am. That's beautiful. So let me talk a little bit deeper now. I will make the AM radio voice that I perfected when I was 12 and 13 years old. I guess I will be choosing. I got to go Kyle Busch, man.
You're going with Kyle Busch?
I got to. Vegas favors him.
You're not going with your man, Kevin Harvick?
Actually, I wanted to go Bowman all the way. But I understand that when you're starting in the back, it's going to be really hard to race his way up to the front. I do know that they have to have a pit stop, but the strategy is going to be all the same. So with Alex, start from the back. With Alex having to start from the back, I'm almost for certain, you know. And Jason said that his pick is Kyle Busch as well.
He must have sent you a private message because I don't see it in our thread. Which means
I guess he did. Wow. Jason, if you're listening, you're on our private message instead of our group thread there, buddy. And we're getting ready here to get off the show. Huh?
He's too scared to talk to me. That's what that means.
Oh, yeah, right. I think I heard him speak up there.
CJ! He's still laughing.
So anyway, Mr. CJ Sports is going to pick Kyle Busch as well. For the truck race, I know I'm not the unlucky charm, so I'm putting my money back on Stuart Friesen, man. Stuart Friesen is going to win this weekend, and we're going to go to the state championships. That's all. I mean, that's all I can say about Stuart Friesen. We're going to win it all, and then he's going to set himself up to win his first championship this year. Something good is going to happen for two very special drivers, Alex Bowman and Stuart Friesen. They will be winners before we get too far further down the road. I am guaranteeing it now. I want Alex Bowman to save it for the 600, so he is my favorite for the 600. I will be choosing Alex Bowman to win next week, but sticking to the script this week, Stuart Friesen and Kyle Busch.
Well, I'm going to go with you on the Stuart Friesen one. I was, we both didn't pick him last week because we figured we were jinxing him, and instead. Well, apparently they jinxed themselves. But here's an interesting stat, and I know we got only 2 minutes. Here's an interesting stat that 78% of the race winners that won stage one and stage two in Kansas went on to win the entire show. And, of course, now that percentage has dropped, obviously, with Stewart. But it's only a matter of time before he gets a win. You know he's going to get one sooner or later. Hopefully it's sooner than later. But when he does, if he wins Friday night in Charlotte, I will forego my nap to go to Fonda Speedway to get an interview with him because he is coming to Fonda on Saturday. That I do know. So,
sounds good. We'll hold you to it.
All right.
Mr. C,
if not,
if you're listening in, come on and give the old script out there as we get ready to close another weekly show of Race Chat Live. I almost said Racing with Big Sweat. Wow. Shout out to Steve Billmeyer. Always thinking about you, buddy. But now, Craig, we're coming on our 2-year anniversary, buddy, of you being on the air with us. I think we've completed somewhere around 60 episodes together already.
I know.
Our friendship grows stronger every week, and sometimes we give a pre-show, other times we don't, but we always seem to be able to bring great material once we go live. So it's been great, man. I know that we're coming up on that time where we brought you on full-time, and we just appreciate you being dedicated and sticking with us through the good and the bad, and it's just been a pleasure working with you, and look forward to the future.
Absolutely, man. I enjoyed each and every week. So, there's not too many weeks that I said, "Oh man, I got to do my show tonight." I enjoy doing it each and every week. Sometimes we do it on Monday. Sometimes we do it on Thursdays. It all depends on both what we've got going on in our personal lives, but we're going to try to pick a date here and stick with it. And
I think we're going to go back to Thursdays, Craig, and then on any week where we have something that's going to come up, we can do a Monday show that week. Because once the full race season kicks off, I will have some shows that I have to be at on Thursday night. So we'll just cross that bridge when we get there, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. All right, well, listen, I hope Miss Heather had a tremendous Mother's Day weekend. And,
yeah, that she did.
Yeah. She's married to you, so how could it be happy? I mean, miserable.
Oh, my gosh. Right. I feel for her every day. But you know what? I don't lie to her. I tell her that I'm the laziest man she'll ever know, and she loves me anyway. So, bless her heart.
But don't you have sons?
Oh yeah, I've got four boys. Just bought one a car earlier this week, and so we'll see how that goes. He hasn't come down from Georgia yet, but we've got him a car sitting in the driveway if he ever comes back. So, we'll keep our fingers crossed there, and. If not, then my 11-year-old, he's pretty excited about getting his first wheels. I mean, did you get your first car at 11?
No, I got my first car at 16.
Yeah, that's what race car families want. You know, we're put in this horrible predicament because they see kids out there racing race cars at 11, 12, 13 years old, and they want to get behind the wheel and drive like the rest of us. But we're like, you know, you can't do that. It's illegal to drive down the road, but you can drive at the racetrack. Yeah, it's kind of confusing for them, but, yep, so, yep, we bought a little 94 Honda Civic. Hey, man, it was a guy got a good deal on it, real nice deal.
Isn't your boy tall?
Hey, I mean, that was something that we would have went to college in, right, Craig?
Yeah, but isn't your boy like 6 foot?
Well, yeah, he's pretty tall.
I mean, he's going to look like a clown in that car.
Well,
you take the Honda Civic, you give him the Cadillac.
Oh, no, that's Mama's Cadillac, son. Daddy don't mess with the Cadillac. All I do is clean it and say, yes, ma'am, she's polished and shined. And yes, ma'am, I've checked your oil. Yes, ma'am, I've made sure that I pumped a full tank of gas, a premium gas in your tank. Yes, ma'am. Anything else that you need, I'll have that done. That's the only involvement I have with the caddy there. That's Mama's car. Daddy ain't got nothing to do with that.
All right, brother. Well, you have a good night, and we will talk at you next week, next Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
All right, Mr. CJ Sports, you going to come in and close out for us?
He's probably sleeping.
Yeah, I gave him a heads up. All right, well, we thank you for being here on the show, and we'll be back next week, probably Thursday.
All right, we'll talk at you next week. Good
Bye.
Night, everybody.
Bye.